I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles tonight and turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Now, I want to warn you about something tonight. We're going to talk about giving. Now, please don't jump up and run out screaming, okay? We're going to be kind, I promise. We're going to be kind. More importantly, we're going to be scriptural, okay? We're going to be biblical. But, you know, it's absolutely impossible. Please don't miss this. It's absolutely impossible to discuss missions without discussing giving. You just can't do it. For example, for God so loved the world that he gave, right? Jesus Christ was the very first missionary. Aren't you thankful that Jesus gave his life for you? I know that you are. Not only are we thankful that Christ gave his life, but we are commanded as Christians to give the gospel. We are called ambassadors. We are called witnesses. We are to be all about the ministry of reconciliation, the Bible tells us. We are to witness. We are to persuade men. Knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. As we've been entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak. A missions conference is where we get together and discuss how shall they hear without a preacher, right? And so aren't you thankful tonight, church family? Think about this, that someone gave you the gospel of Jesus Christ. I know that you are. It's absolutely impossible to discuss missions without discussing giving. But let me go a step further. It's absolutely impossible. Are you ready for this? It's impossible to accomplish missions without giving. It's impossible. We either go or we give so that others can go on our behalf. One of the great hymns of the faith, O Zion, haste. And again, I will not sing for you because you don't want that, I promise, all right? But one of the great, one of the lines of O Zion, haste, it goes like this. Give of thy sons to bear the message glorious. Give of thy wealth to speed them on their way. If we are going to give our sons and our daughters here in the United States of America to bear the message glorious, we better be prepared to give of our wealth to speed them on their way. Amen. I wonder if your son or your daughter was a missionary, I wonder if you would give more to missions. That's a convicting question, isn't it? And so if we're going to give of our sons and our daughters to bear the message glorious, we better be prepared to give of our wealth to speed them on their way. So we're going to discuss missions tonight, or giving tonight, but not just any kind of giving. We want to talk about grace giving, grace giving. And what is that all about? And in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, we find information regarding grace giving. And so look with me, if you will, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verses 1 through 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 7. First of all, we see a Macedonia model for grace giving. Look with me at verse number 1. The Bible says, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit. We want you to know something. What is it that the Holy Spirit of God wants us to know? We do you to wit of the, here it is, grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. What is this grace? What is it that the Holy Spirit wants us to know about regarding this grace? Well, the question is answered in verse number 2. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded, overflowed unto the riches of their liberality. That word liberality, we understand what generosity is, and that's what's being referred to here. So what is the grace that God bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia as we see this Macedonian model for giving? What is this grace that was bestowed upon them? Well, here it is. When they were poor and persecuted, the churches of Macedonia gave joyfully and generously. That is the grace that was bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia. I'll say it again. When poor and persecuted, they gave joyfully and generously. Look at verses, let's do this. We see a Macedonia model for giving, but then we also see a Corinthian encouragement. The Holy Spirit is basically saying this, as you consider the Macedonia model for giving, now, Church of Corinth, it's your turn to give in the same way. Look at verse number 6. Insomuch that we desired Titus that he had begun, so he would also finish in you, what? The same grace also. Verse 7. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, in knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, here it is, see that ye abound in this grace also. Here's the point, church family, tonight. As the Lord wanted the church of Corinth to experience grace giving, so too the Lord wants the church. Are you ready for this? So too the Lord wants the church of Bucyrus to experience grace giving as well. So with that in mind, let's talk about grace giving this evening from 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Let's pray and ask the Lord to bless our time together. Father, we love you. Thank you for the privilege of studying your word. We thank you, Father, for this church family, this pastor and his family. We thank you for the bright light that is here at Calvary Baptist Church, not only in this community, but around the world as they have an evident heart for missions and the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ going around the world. And Father, we pray now that as we pause and look again into your word, that you would use the power of your word and the power of your spirit to do something spiritual in our midst. And we'll thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I want you to know this. It is a missions revival, and we're looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 8. But I want you to know this, that on one hand, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 has nothing to do with missions. But on the other hand, it has everything to do with missions. You say, Brother Bill, what in the world are you talking about? Well, the question is this. Why were the churches of Macedonia giving to the church at Jerusalem? Well, the answer to that is the church of Jerusalem was poor and persecuted. They were persecuted because of Pentecost. Thousands of Jewish individuals from all over the known world were visiting. Pentecost takes place, and thousands are getting saved. And the same people that didn't like Jesus don't like Jesus's followers. And so there's persecution. As a result of the persecution and the great influx of Jewish people from all over the world who stayed in Jerusalem, there was also poverty. It's hard to get a job when you're being hunted down. I think that you'll agree with me about that. Also, later in the book of Acts, we hear that there's a famine that is taking place. And so the church there at Jerusalem was poor and persecuted. That's why we have at the end of chapter 2 in the book of Acts, verses like this that say that they had all things common, and everyone sold their possessions and their goods, and they gave to all men as they had need. That's a paraphrase, but that's what's going on there. And so you have these Gentile churches in Macedonia giving because the church at Jerusalem was poor and persecuted. You say, well, that doesn't have anything to do with missions. Well, I said that on one hand, it has nothing to do with missions. But on the other hand, it has everything to do with missions. How so? Well, here's the point. If we ought to give to those that are physically persecuted, how much more should we give to those that are on their way to a devil's hell? Hey, let me go a step further. If we ought to give to those that are physically in need, how much more should we give to those that are spiritually in need and do not have the righteousness of Christ? Let me use a quick illustration. My wife, Amy, was adopted from Seoul, South Korea when she was 4 years old. She and her sister were adopted at the same time. Amy was 4 and Jen was 2. When the orphanage found Amy in Seoul, South Korea, she and her sister were in an alley and Amy was scrounging, looking for food to take care of her baby sister. You hear that story, and that's a sad story. That kind of tugs at your heartstrings. I get emotional every time I think about it, to be truthful with you. But can I say, as sad as that story is, there's something more sad, and that would be if she never heard of Jesus Christ. She was adopted, her and her sister, into a Christian home in Mansfield, Ohio, and they heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they were gloriously saved. There's something far worse than physical poverty, and that is spiritual poverty, and not having the righteousness of Christ. And so a missions conference is where we meet to decide the fate of the heathen. How are we going to meet the spiritual needs of those that are without Christ? And we see in this Macedonia model an amazing pattern, an example of giving that every Christian and every believer ought to be all about. And so the question this evening is this: what is grace giving? Just a two-point outline tonight, very brief. What is grace giving? As I see it in the Word of God, here's what I believe grace giving is. Number one, generous giving because of God's grace, and generous giving, number two, by God's grace. Generous giving because of God's grace, and generous giving by God's grace. First of all, what is grace giving? Number one, it's generous giving because of God's grace. In other words, because of what God has done for us. The churches of Macedonia teach us much about generous giving. For example, the churches of Macedonia teach us that, number one, joyful people give generously. When poor and persecuted, they gave joyfully and generously. They overflowed with generosity. And by the way, you know this to be true, God loveth a what? Cheerful giver. I heard a story one time about a little girl who was sent to Sunday school class by her mother, and the mother was testing her. The mother gave her $1 for the offering plate and $0.25 for the offering plate. When she got home, the mother said, "Which did you put in the offering plate?" And the little girl said, "Well, I was going to put the dollar in, but then the man behind the pulpit said that God loves a cheerful giver, and I thought I would be a lot more cheerful if I gave the quarter instead of the dollar." That's not the cheerful giving that is being referred to here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. But the churches of Macedonia teach us that joyful people give generously. Secondly, the churches of Macedonia teach us this, that compassionate people give generously. Compassionate people give generously. Look with me, if you will, at verse number 4. What did the churches of Macedonia do? Praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. In other words, the churches of Macedonia, here it is, begged us to receive their gift and give it to the needy saints. That, my friend, is compassion. And look with me at verse 24, the encouragement for the church of Corinth to do the same. Wherefore, show ye to them and before the churches, church of Corinth, are you ready? The proof of your love and of our boasting on your behalf. Compassionate people give generously. Remember, there is no compassion without action. We looked at that on Sunday night, or Monday night rather. Number three, from our text, we see that surrendered people give generously. Look at verse number 5. And this they did. What did they do? They gave, they were involved with grace giving, but notice what it says. Not as we hope, but first gave their own selves to the Lord. What's the point there? The point is this: when I give God myself, God has my substance. When I give God my life, He has my livelihood. When I give God my person, He has my possessions. That's the point that's being taught there. They first gave themselves to the Lord. Everything else was secondary. And then lastly, and this is our point, the Macedonian model teaches us that grateful people give generously. People that are thankful give generously. You know, there's a principle of giving all through the Bible, and we won't take the time to develop it, but it's a great study. And this is what you will find in the Bible. You study it on your own, that our giving is in direct proportion to our gratitude. We give in direct proportion to a grateful heart. We see that all through the Bible. I love the story about the little girl. She didn't know that her father had come home from work. And so he was sitting in the Lazy Boy reading his newspaper, and she came around the corner. She didn't know Dad had gotten home from work. Her eyes lit up. She saw him sitting there. She ran over to him. She crawled up in his lap. She gave him a big hug. She said this to him. She said, "I love you, and I just have to do something about it." And she gave him a big old hug. Hey, listen, our giving is in direct proportion to our gratitude. And we see that the churches of Macedonia, they gave because they were thankful. What were they thankful for? Look with me, turn the page, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. That's what they were thankful for. As a matter of fact, we find a much greater model of giving in our text than even the churches of Macedonia. Look at chapter 8, verse 9. A much greater model of giving than the churches of Macedonia. Verse 9, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. What is grace giving? Grace giving is generous giving because of God's grace. They gave generously because they were grateful. This is not guilt giving, because the churches of Macedonia begged Paul to take the gift and give it to the saints. This is not grudge giving, because God loveth a cheerful giver. No, this is generous giving because God has done so much for us. I love you and I just have to do something about it. Generous giving because of God's grace. And then secondly, what is grace giving? According to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, it's generous giving because of God's grace. And then secondly, it's generous giving by God's grace. In other words, with his help. By his power, we would say, by his grace. By his grace. Look at verse 3, if you will. The Bible says, for to their power, the churches of Macedonia, for to their power or their ability, I bear record, yea, and beyond their power or beyond their ability. In other words, beyond what could have been expected or beyond what could have been thought possible in their condition. They were poor and they were persecuted. They acted voluntarily of their own accord to give beyond what anyone could have ever thought or imagined. See, this is not mysterious money. This is not the Lord giving you, you know, an amount. I want to give to missions, and God's impressed upon my heart this large number. And if I go out into the field every day and God doesn't drop it from heaven, then I don't give to missions. That's not what this is talking about. No, the Bible says in verse 11 and 12 that grace giving is giving according to that a man hath, not according to what he hath not. And so this is, Lord, how can I give more? Listen, what is grace giving? This is so important, and we're going to wrap this up here. What is grace giving? It's saying, it's generous giving because of God's grace. In other words, Lord, I want to give more. But then it is also generous giving by God's grace. Lord, how can I give more? That's the spirit of grace giving. Let me attempt to illustrate. A friend of mine that graduated from Pensacola Christian College is a gentleman by the name of Bill Patterson. Bill Patterson grew up on the mission field in Mexico. His father was a church planting missionary, and his father was his pastor growing up on the mission field there in Mexico. One day, Dr. Mike Patterson made the announcement from the pulpit to his church there in Mexico. He said, next Sunday, we're going to have a missionary traveling through. He's going to preach. He's going to present his work. And he said, I happen to know that that particular missionary has a great financial need, and I want our church to pray about meeting that need. We're going to take up a love offering next Sunday, and I'm asking you to just simply pray what God would have you to give to help the missionary and his need. On the way home from work, Billy at the time, just a small kid, he said to his father, he said these words, he said, Dad, I want to give something to help that missionary. Dr. Patterson said, son, that's great. He said, what are you going to give? And Bill said this, he said, I don't know. How much are you going to give me? And Dr. Patterson said, son, it doesn't work that way. He said, you pray about how you can give, and son, the Lord will show you how. And guess what? Bill did. And he prayed, and the Lord gave him an idea. And Monday through Friday, he went out on the street corner and he sold lemonade. And at the end of the week, he had $25 to give to that missionary. Listen, what is grace giving? Grace giving is generous giving because of God's grace. Lord, I want to give more. And it's generous giving by God's grace. Lord, how can I give more? And so Amy and I, if we traveled from missions revival to missions revival and missions conference to missions conference, we have heard many illustrations of believers that would stand and they would say, I would like to give a testimony on how the Lord has shown me how I can give more, because we want to give more. And I'd like to share some of those with you. We were with we heard a story about a man who was a businessman, and he already gave a good amount to missions every month. And he said, Lord, I want to give more. And so the Lord spoke to him. And every day about 3 o'clock, he was a businessman in a large city in our country. Every day about 3 o'clock, he would leave his office. He would go down and walk a couple blocks, and he would get about a $4 coffee from a coffee shop. And the Lord said, you know, you could just drink the coffee that's in the office, and the money you spend every day for coffee, you could give that to missions. And he said, that's a great idea. And you think about that. $4 times five, right? It's 20 times 4 weeks in a month. That's $80 if my math is correct. He gave an extra $80 a month for the gospel going around the world. Why? Because he just wanted to give more. Now, no pastor is going to tell him to do that. No pastor is going to say, listen, you don't love the Lord. You drink coffee every day. No one's going to do that. This comes from a heart of, Lord, I want to give more. How can I give more? I heard a story about an elderly couple, and they were on a fixed income. And really, the only thing that they did that was extra every week on Friday night, they would go out to eat. That was what they did. And they were already giving to missions. And so they started praying, and what can we do more for missions? And the Lord started to work in her life, and also worked in his life. And they came up with this idea, you know, we spend $20, $25. We go out to eat every Friday. Hey, let's eat at home. Let's give that to missions. And they were able to give that extra to missions. Now listen, no pastor is going to go up to someone and say, hey, you know what? I can't believe that you go out to eat every Friday night. You could give that money to me. No one's going to do that. Where does that come from, church family? It comes from a heart of, what can I do more? What can I do more? I even heard an extreme example of a family that all of the kids were out of the house. They had a large house. They had a mortgage on that house, and they sold their house, moved into a smaller house, and the difference in the mortgage, they gave that extra to missions. Can you imagine a pastor or a missionary going up to you and say, hey, you know what? That house is too big. You better move into something smaller and give that. No one's going to do that. Where does that come from, church family? It comes from a heart of, how can I give more? That's grace giving. That's grace giving. Amy and I were in a conference not too long ago, about 3-4 weeks ago, and we met a couple who gives to Worldview Ministries. They already give to missions, and then they started supporting one of our projects, and they came up to us and they said, listen, we want you to know that the money that we give for Bible translation, they said, we want you to know that's blood money. What? That kind of scared me a little. What does that mean? What have you been doing? You know? And so they said, well, you know, we give to missions. We wanted to give more. We wanted to give the Bible translation. And so the Lord impressed upon our heart, we both periodically go and give plasma, and the money we receive for that, we give to missions. Wow. Breaks your heart. That's awesome to think about. So what are we talking about? In conclusion, we're talking about sacrifice. We're giving about, talking about sacrifice. We're talking about, Lord, how can I give more to the greatest need in the world? And that is the gospel going to the uttermost parts of the world, the gospel going to the unreached. Lord, there's a great need. How can I give more? We're talking about sacrifice. All too often, we give of our excess that which we're not going to miss. We don't really sacrifice. We don't really say, Lord, how can I give more? I remember, and I said this, I think a few days ago, but we had our first missions conference, and a gentleman by the name of Ernie Perham would come, and he would preach our missions revival, and he would say this every missions revival. He would always say this. He would say, the average American, the average Christian in America gives more money per month to their pets than they do the gospel going around the world. And he used to say, I would hate to stand before God one day knowing I gave more money per month to my dog than I did the gospel going around the world. I mentioned the wartime mentality the other day. The wartime mentality speaks about during World War I and World War II, families would sacrifice so those on the front lines could have what they needed to accomplish the task that was before them. And in the book Flags of Our Fathers by James Bradley, he writes this: during World War II, the entire nation seemed overnight to have snapped out of its Depression-era lethargy. Everyone scrambled to be of help. Rubber was needed for the war effort, along with gasoline and metal. A woman's basketball game at Northwestern University was stopped so that the referee and all 10 players could scour the floor for one lost bobby pin. Americans pitched in to support strict rationing programs, and their boys turned out as volunteers in various collection drives. Soon butter and milk were restricted, along with canned goods and meat. Shoes became scarce, and paper and silk. People grew victory gardens and drove at the gas saving victory speed of 35 miles an hour. The slogan, use it up, wear it out, make it do or do without, became popular. Air raid sirens and blackouts were scrupulously obeyed. Why? Because Americans were willing to sacrifice. I think you'll agree with me, there's a far greater war going on, and it's a war for souls. How much are we willing to sacrifice? Churches of Macedonia, why did you give so much? When poor and persecuted, how did you give joyfully and generously? They would say, we gave generously because of God's grace. Lord, we want to give more. And they would say, we gave generously by God's grace. Lord, show us how we can give more. In conclusion, I believe every pastor prays at a missions revival, three prayers. I believe that every pastor prays this way. Number one, that missionaries would be sent out from our congregation. I believe every pastor prays that way. I believe, secondly, every pastor prays that their missions program would increase, that more missionaries could be supported. Certainly that the missions program wouldn't go backwards. And then thirdly, and we close with this, I believe every pastor prays that every member of their church would give to missions. From the youngest to the oldest and everyone in between, that every member would give to missions. My wife, growing up at Mansfield Baptist Temple, she would give a quarter every week to missions. Hey, imagine how God would be pleased if 100% of Calvary Baptist Church gave generously because of God's grace, and gave generously by God's grace. May God help us to be the kind of giver that God would have us to be. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. You can't talk about missions without talking about giving. And friend, you cannot accomplish missions without giving. I've often asked that question I posed to you earlier. Would I give more to missions if one of my boys became a missionary? If my son was going to Uruguay, would I give more? Give of thy sons to bear the message glorious. Give of thy wealth to speed them on their way. May God help us to be all about grace giving. Father, we thank you for the privilege of studying your word. I thank you for this church and their heartbeat and their heart for the glorious gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I thank you in a day when so many churches are doing away with their missions program. What an encouragement to see a church setting aside days to discuss the greatest commission that's ever been given. I pray, Lord, that you'll bless Calvary Baptist Church for their heart for missions. Father, help each and every one of us, myself included, to be all about grace giving. You've done so much for us. Lord, help us to give in return. In Jesus' name, Pastor.